तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
शान्ति चक्रको वदस्यन्तु कुटुम्बिनः।
वीतरागवयक्रोधा मन्मया मामुपाश्रिताः बहवो ज्ञानतपसा पूतामद्भावमागताः वीतरागवयक्रोधा मन्मया मामुपाश्रिताः बहवो ज्ञानतपसा पूतामद्भावमागताः ये यतामा प्रपद्यन्ते तां सदैव पचाम्यहम् मम वर्त्मानुवर्तन्ते मनुष्यापात सर्वशः ये यतामां प्रपद्यन्ते तां सदैव पचाम्यहम् मम वर्त्मानुवर्तन्ते मनुष्यापात सर्वशः काङ्क्षन्तः कर्मणां सिद्धिम् यजन्तैह देवताः क्षिप्रं हि मानुषे लोके सिद्धिर्भवति कर्मजा काङ्क्षन्तः कर्मणां सिद्धिम् यजन्तैह देवताः क्षिप्रं हि मानुषे लोके सिद्धिर्भवति कर्मजा। चातुर्वर्ण्यं मया श्रेष्ठम् गुणकर्म विभागशः तस्य कर्तारमपि मां विद्यकर्तारमव्ययम् चातुर्वर्ण्यं मया श्रेष्ठम् गुणकर्मविभागशः तस्य कर्तारमपि मां विद्यकर्तारमव्ययम्। नमां कर्माणि लिम्पन्ति न मे कर्मफले स्पृहा इति माव्योऽपि जानाति कर्मभिर्न सपद्यते न मां कर्माणि लिम्पन्ति न मे कर्मफले स्पृहा इति माव्योऽपि जानाति कर्मभिर्न सपद्यते।
Verse 10 of chapter 4, he says, freed from desire, fear and anger, absorbed in me, taking refuge in me, purified by knowledge, by the fire of knowledge, by jnana tapasa, many have attained my being. So he said, many have attained my being is encouragement to Arjuna that you can also attain the Supreme Being. The potential in every human being is the same. The potential is infinite. But how many of us are capable of going within and realizing it in this Janma differs from person to person. So he says, you also have the same potential. It is not that somebody were at a different advantage than you. Then freed from desire, fear and anger. Desire, fear and anger, where are they? Within you. So they were freed from their own mind. That's what it means. Freed from desire, fear and anger means. freed from desire should be understood as somebody who is freed from running after an object or being, as well as running away from an object or being. Free from desire does not mean he will be running away from the object. Running away means you have fear that the object can influence you. What do you mean? When do you have fear? I have no fear from an object, then I need not run away from it. There is a beautiful story. A Buddha Bhikshu was coming along on the street, and a prostitute is supposed to have invited him to come and stay with him, stay with her in her house, because it was rainy season. So till the end the rainy season, you come and stay with me here. So he said, I have no problem, I'll come and stay with you, but I'll just take permission from my guru, Buddha. So he went to Buddha and asked for the permission. Buddha said, you have my permission, you can go. All the other disciples were saying, how is it possible? Right? They were all saying. He said, if you had asked, I wouldn't have given it to you. He goes and stays there for a few months. Nothing affected him. She tried her best to change him. Nothing affected him. He neither said, don't dance, nor did he say, why are you not dancing? He was just normal. Whatever she was trying to allure him, she was trying, but nothing happened to him. After a few months, when he came back to Buddha, he brought one more disciple, that is the prostitute herself. In other words, the story is saying that that person was free from desire because he had no fear. When do you know that you are free from desire? When you have no fear of facing it. If you have fear of facing anything, that means there is possibility of you getting influenced. So there are people who say, take away money. They are scared of money. That means desire is there in that they are not still free from the desire for money. They may not have money. So having money, not having money per se has nothing to do with becoming free from the desire for money. So therefore he says, free from desire and fear. And one who is freed from the fear of the object being present in front of him or her, that person can never get angry when the object is denied, when the object is showered. There is no possibility. Do you mean? So in other words, why do you get scared of any object? Because you know that the object might expose you. Today you are accepted as a very divine personality. If you go in front of the object, the possibility is there that your true nature could be exposed. This was not the case with the Buddha Bhikshu. He had no problem. You know, there's a beautiful story which actually happened in Vivekananda's life. When Swami Vivekananda, after a lecture, one lady came up to him and said, let us get married. I would like to have a son like you. So he said, first, after getting married, we have to wait for the son to be born and he has to grow up to find out whether he is grown up like me. Instead of that, if you are ready right now, I am ready. I don't know whether you are ready. If you are ready right now, I am ready to be your son. You understand? Means, you can be my mother. There is a need. All you wanted is a son like me, right? So, fear is absolutely not there. Very comfortable in the presence and not in the presence. So free from desire need to be understood correctly. A lot of people think free from desire means they have to free themselves away from the object of their desire. You can free yourself from the object of your desire and still be far from being free from the desire. You may not be free from the object, you can still be free from the desire. This is what we need to understand here correctly. So those who know the divine, the secret of my divine birth, how the finite has come about from the infinite, which he explained, have freed themselves from karma bandha. They have become absolutely free from desire. There is no desire to do, there is no desire not to do. They are absolutely free from desire, desires, modifications, fear, anger, etc. And they have taken complete refuge in me, absorbed in me, he says. Refuge in me, absorbed in me, and through jnana tapasa, through the fire of knowledge, they have purified themselves. This also needs to be understood correctly, and many have attained by being thus. By absorbing themselves in me, meaning totally surrendering in me. You are completely surrendered only when there is no otherness. Now this might look like contradictory to you. If there is somebody else other than me, to him or her, I surrender. But real surrender is possible only when there is no otherness. Now what is the meaning for that? When there is somebody, you fall at their feet. That means you are still retaining your individuality. But when there is nobody and you have become one with that totality, there is no individuality retained. That is the absolute surrender. And in that absolute surrender, you are actually doing jnana tapas. Because ajnana tapas is the is when the tapas is done with the base as arrogance or ego. The base is ego. You can do tapas. Like so many people are watching you. You could, out of ego, say 10 days I'm going to fast. In fact, a highly egoistic person would probably can fast for 10 days or even more. That doesn't mean, I'm saying the contrary is true. All those who fast for 10 days are egoistic. I'm not saying that. Don't quote me wrong. But when a person is extremely egoistic, to prove a point, he can go through the tapasya. But by going through such tapasya, only ego becomes more strong. Are you with me? So that is the ajnana tapas. Here he is talking about jnana tapas. Jnana tapas, the base is not ego. The base is surrender. This is the difference. What purifies you is surrender. What is the impurity? The ego. So a lot of us can do tapas out of ego. That will only solidify the ego further. That will only make the ego more strengthened. So when he says here jnana tapas, completely surrendering, meaning they have dissolved the boundary of the individuality, have become one with the total. Thereafter they are not doing any action as if they are doing, thereafter all their actions are done through them. It is the divinity, the totality that is functioning through them. Thus when a person maintains discipline with awareness, with knowledge, that purifies the person. What purifies ultimately is the jnana. It is not the action of tapas that purifies you. If it is simply withdrawing, that purifies. Many people must have been purified. Withdrawing on the contrary might increase the desire for it. Therefore it is jnana tapas. With knowledge, when you maintain discipline, that purifies you. By purifying themselves through knowledge, many have attained my being. Today, our being is limited being. We restrict our being with reference to this body. He says, they have become my being. They have attained my being. Meaning, their being is now not restricted with their body. It has been further enhanced. Now their being has become one with the total being. They are not separate from the totally. They are not identified with the wave anymore. They have become one with the ocean. Next verse.
Ye yatama prapadyante, ye yatama prapadyante, tam sataiva bhajamyaham, tam sataiva bhajamyaham, mama vartmanu vartante, mama vartmanu vartante, manushya pata sarvashaha, manushya pata sarvashaha, ye yatama prapadyante, tam sataiva bhajamyaham, mama vartmanu vartante, manushya pata.
Howsoever men approach me, howsoever people approach me, even so do I satisfy them. Men tread my path in all ways, O Partha. People only tread my path in all ways, O Partha, O Arjuna. These are very deep verses that he is talking about here. He is basically saying, as you sow, so shall you reap. That's what he's saying in these verses. As you sow, so shall you reap. Self is like a clean mirror. You go in front of the self as a beggar, you continue to remain a beggar, being reflected to the mirror. You go like a king, you will be reflected to the mirror like a king. What bhav you have, he is talking about the concept of resonance here. The universe is only a echo point. In your subconscious, if you are filled with beggarliness, the world will throw back, the totality will throw back and maintain you a beggar. If inside you, you are kingly, the totality will keep you kingly. This is the gist of this verse. Howsoever people approach me, what bhav they have. Ye yata mam prapadyate tam stataiva bhajamya. I keep them as they seek.
Howsoever people approach me, so do I satisfy them.
Men approach me in many ways, many paths. In all paths they are worshipping me only. See,
how, like you go on top of a mountain point and you pray like a donkey.
So if you go on top of a mountain point and bray like a donkey, what you get back is the braying of a donkey. Not knowing the secret about the totality, we are dressing up ourselves like a beggar. If only you know this truth, why would you waste your energy to go up on top of that mountain and then pray like a donkey? You understand? If you put positive sum, what you get back is positive. If you give back negative, what you get back is negative. If you are not being showered acceptance from the totality, it means you never gave acceptance to the totality. If you are somebody who is been used by the totality, which means you have been using others in the totality. If you are a taker, not a giver, if you are a giver, totality gives you. This is what Jesus Christ also said, empty thyself, I shall fill thee. Empty thyself means what? You are emptying by giving. The more you give, the more you receive. Who receives is the one who gives. If you do not give, if you pretend to be a giver, but you are actually a taker, the totality keeps you because you are satisfied being a taker. So it keeps you as somebody who would still be feeling pathetic, wanting, craving, not fulfilled, beggarly. So in other words, remember, Indian culture always values what is not seen, not what is seen. You see this glass, you see this glass is filled with water, half. And the half is the half really empty? Filled with air. It is not seen. Similarly, there is conscious and there is subconscious in you. Subconscious is not seen. What is your attitude at the subconscious level? Conscious level you may be giving, but at the subconscious level your attitude is taking, not giving. Are you with me? Remember this. Deep inside your subconscious there is a belief system, value system, attitudes. Your altitude in life will depend upon your attitude. How high you will be able to fly will depend upon your attitude. There is a beautiful story which Shiv Khera talks about in his book, You Can Win. I don't know whether it is his story or it is taken from somewhere, I don't know. And it really doesn't matter to us. There is a guy who is selling balloons. To attract the customers, he pumps in air into white balloons and sends it high. So a black boy comes to him and says, "Uncle, only white balloons fly? Black balloons can't fly?" He says, "No, better, even black balloons can fly." So he takes a black balloon, pumps in little air and then flies it high, floats it high. Then he tells him, "Balloons don't fly because of what is there outside of it. Balloons fly high because of what is inside of it." Are you with me? So outside your behavior and all these things may be different, but if inside you are a beggar, you are doing charity outside, but inside you are a taker, you would still find yourself in life remaining unfulfilled, beggarly, craving, asking, dissatisfied, pathetic individual. If you want more adjectives, I can mention. But this is what it is. So, as you sow, so shall you. Howsoever people approach, this is a beautiful law that he is talking about. If you are filled with giving, you will be attracting things to you. If you are filled with taking, you will be sending everything away from you. A simple law. So one who has found his self within has emptied his ego totally. You understand? So So how you utilize yourself, accordingly you will get the result. Self is a black mirror. It's like a blank check. You can fill it. You can fill yourself with positive and get positive. You can fill yourself with negative and get negative. There's no point blaming anybody else. What are my belief systems? What are my value systems? My attitudes in life, BVA, which is inside in your subconscious, which is not seen. We tend to give more importance to the behavior which is seen. Behavior is seen, but the belief is not seen. If inside in your subconscious, if you believe I cannot, the result will be accordingly. If inside if you believe I can, the result will be accordingly. So one who has freed himself from desire, he has no wants. He is all giving. Since he is all giving, he receives everything. In fact, we are stopping ourselves from receiving everything. So therefore Vedanta says, by craving you prevent from receiving. By craving you prevent yourself from receiving. Craving actually are the obstacles. And what is the proof of you really want something? If you really want something, you should be ready to sacrifice anything for it. If you simply ask, a lot of people say, I asked, it didn't come. You really didn't want it. If you really wanted it, your actions are the proof that how much you really want it. Isn't it? If you really wanted something, you would be doing things that is needed to get it. That is why people who do it, get it. Not sitting and asking. When your subconscious is filled with it, your conscious will be moved into doing in that line. A lot of people just wish and then don't act. That means their subconscious is still not filled with it. They will not get it. And then they say, see, I told you, asking you will not get it. You really want it, you will be ready to do anything for it. So therefore he says, ye yata mam prapadyante mam stataiva pachamya mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvasha. People are only walking my path. Walking my path means the path that is tread. Their treading is the law. There is as you sow, so shall you. So that is why it is important to find out what your attitudes are. When you practice Maunam, you give yourself a chance to look into your attitudes. You give a chance to look into your own thoughts. You give a chance to look into your own belief system. Practicing Maunam per se is not practicing defendam. You understand? A lot of people think when they are practicing Maunam, they are supposed to be acting like defendam. That means they are really not practicing Maunam. When you really understand this law, then you understand that the moment you feel your subconscious, the totality has sent it to you. Right? The moment you have a doubt, that means you are preventing the totality sending it to you. You will be functioning as if you have already received it. If you really understand it. Otherwise, you will be functioning with doubt. Aayega, nahi aayega, aayega, nahi aayega. So really your prayer is complete only when you have absolutely no doubt. So when you really want it, you have no doubt and you start acting in the direction, automatically you become capable of receiving it. Howsoever people approach me, so do I satisfy. So you think by craving I will become happy. So totality says, okay, if craving keeps you happy, I continue keeping you craving for things. It's as simple as that. So remember, he's talking about the concept of resonance here. If you remain a giver at the subconscious, the totality will be giving you. If at the subconscious you remain a beggar, the totality will continue keeping you a beggar. So in other words, you write your own destiny. You are the architect of your fortune. You are the architect of your misfortune. Nobody else sitting up the clouds is writing it. Swami Ramakrishna says, if somebody is sitting up the cloud, poor fellow will catch cold disease. Nobody is sitting up the cloud writing your destiny. With your bhav, you are writing your own destiny. Sudama story talks about it. Sudama went to meet Krishna. Did he go to meet Krishna asking something? He never wanted anything. He never felt that there was anything lacking. He in fact went to give. He went with love. He went with affection. You understand? The fact that he went with giving, when he came back, he was showered with everything. This is Sudama's story, is what this shloka is talking about. We sometimes take something to give to somebody, but our idea is not really giving. We give something because we believe by giving this, we will get something in return. So you are a beggar. But when Sudama went, he didn't go to give expecting that Krishna will give something back in return. himself. His wife had told him many things. He went there. Nothing he had in his mind. Absolutely nothing. So if you hold on, then God says, okay, leave him in that condition. If you completely give up, then he says, okay, fill him fully. In fact, to the extent you hold on, to that extent you deny yourself. When Draupadi held on to her sari, when she was being disrobed in the parliament, Krishna never came. She called, throwing up one arm, said, oh Krishna, please come. But ultimately when she threw up both her arms and said, come, he came. So when you completely surrender, nothing you really want, you are only giving and giving and giving. It is very interesting. So if you are filled with love, what you attract is love. If you are filled with attachment, what you get is only attachment. So you are responsible for what you are getting in your life. If you really understand this verse today, you will not have any problem in giving. So by holding on, you are denying yourself. This is what Swami Ramananda says. Attach, you lose. Detach, you gain. The way to gain anything is to lose it. By attaching yourself to things, holding on to it, you lose it. By detaching, you get it. Sudama was completely detached. A person who is attached is worried, maybe I will not get it, maybe I will not get it. A person who is not attached, he has no doubt that he will not get it. And the fact that he wants it totally, he will be doing actions totally without any doubt. He will get it. This is the point. On one side you are doing action, on the other side you are doubting, you will not get it. This is all the whole verse is talking about. Yeyata mam prapadyante. So in other words, the self in you has infinite potential. It is what you write on it. But once you have written, that is what you will get. That is what you will get. Lord of us are using this potential to fill up small things, and we are satisfied with those small things. When you have a capacity to get the infinite, you are filling the check with small little things and being satisfied with it, unfortunately. This is what Krishna is saying. If you can really understand this, you will not be asking for this, asking for that, nothing. We try to encash. You get an opportunity to ask something. You have to ask something. And quickly you ask for small little things and you get it. You don't want anything. A lot of us engage our tapasya. The moment you engage, you feel you asked and you got it and you are very satisfied. But then are you really satisfied?
I should have asked a little more.
You understand? Whereas the other fellow doesn't ask like Sudama. He didn't ask. If he had told, give me 100 rupees, Krishna would have given him 100 rupees, that's it. He never asked anything. Therefore, what he got was multifold. That is also this verse is saying. You have a check in which you can write infinite. But a lot of us are writing finite and getting finite. And when you get finite, you are not satisfied till you get infinite. So you say, I should have asked for more. You continue remaining like a beggar. So ye yata mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaha mama vartman vartante manushya partha sarvasha. Try to memorize this verse if possible. If not, at least remember, as you sow, so shall you reap. You are not allowed inside the kingdom, inside the palace, if you are not dressed up as someone who has come to meet the king. If you are dressed up like a beggar and say, I want to go and meet the king, then say, what nonsense, you can't go and meet the king. You understand? If you have to go and meet the king, you have to be dressed up like somebody who looks like have come to meet the king. So you are dressing up yourself with the beggarly clothes, asking, asking, asking. Obviously the king is not interested in you. This is the most beautiful message that Lord Krishna is trying to give you. Next verse. Kamshanta karmanam siddhim, kamshanta karmanam siddhim, yajantaiha devataha, yajantaiha devataha, kshipram himanushe loke, kshipram himanushe loke, siddhir bhavati karmaja, siddhir bhavati karmaja, kamshanta karmanam siddhim, yajantaiha devataha, kshipram himanushe loke, siddhir bhavati karmaja. Karmaja, they who long for success in action, here means the world, sacrifice to the gods, they sacrifice to devas, for quickly indeed success is born of action in the human world. See, devas means beings at a higher dimension, who are also beings, not to be taken as Brahman. Remember this. Devata is different from Brahman. Right? Instead of surrendering to the totality, there are people who surrender to different devatas. They oblate to different devatas. Satisfying those devatas, they get the finite food for which they sacrifice to those devatas. That's what he is saying here. So they who long for success in action here in this world, they approach the devatas. Here also what he is saying is, remember, there are subtle beings at different dimensions. For example, some beings are positively charged called as devatas. Some beings who are positive, negatively charged called as asuras. They are yet to be born. This is why they say, when you do punya activity, you will be in heaven, spending your life as devata. But after having exhausted your punya, you will again come back to the human form. Same thing goes with power. You will be going around as asuras. When that is exhausted, you will come back to take the human form and again be born in human form. So in other words, punya and paap will not take you to moksha. They may take you to a different realm of experiences, but they will again bring you back to human form. It is in fact a delay. You are interested in going to USA. Try to take a non-stop direct flight. But somebody comes and says, why don't you take this flight via Frankfurt? 5 days stay in Frankfurt, absolutely free, in a five-star hotel. And they will reimburse your ticket also. All these temptations come. Then you say, okay, but 5 day delay, whether you live in a five-star hotel or not, is delay still. You understand? Therefore, really speaking, somebody who is interested in moksha is not interested in punya activity also. Because punya is in a way delay. Direct non-stop liberation is what I am interested in. Kaivalya mukti, not kama mukti. Liberation in stages. He wants direct liberation. So, what he is saying is, whenever you get a thought in you, if it is positive, the positively charged beings called devatas, they are attracted to you. Because they are trying to spread positivity, but they are not having the body to do it. So that is why when you are inspired to do something good, say for example, we hear stories, many stories. For example, Mother Teresa, very fragile looking lady, took up the cause. From outside it looks such a person is impossible to get the work done. But since she was positively charged, all those who are positively charged get attracted to her, and she is not alone. There are many forces that are acting behind her, and the positive activity is done through her. Believe me. Similarly, sometimes you get one negative thought and you ended up murdering somebody. Then you really feel, I don't know how I did this. From where I got the strength to commit a murder. What you don't understand is there are subtle forces, negative forces, looking to attach themselves with somebody who is vibrating negative. Then when all those forces attach themselves to you, you end up doing some crime which you ordinarily would not have done it. That is why they say always encourage positive thoughts. Just like I said, you see this glass, you think this glass is half empty. It is not empty, it is filled with air. Similarly, you only see what is seen, but there are beings which are not seen. What in our culture we call as adrishtam. Drishta, that which is seen. Adrishta, that which is not seen. Both the punya and papa are not seen. Are you with me? So that is why when somebody is positively charged, they get strength from all the positive beings. When somebody is negatively charged, they get strength from all negative beings. That is why it is said that wherever there is satsang going on, there will be devata sitting. It is not as though only 2 people, 3 people, 10 people sitting. There are so many more people who are vibrating positively are sitting. Similarly, wherever there is negative going on, there are other adrishta beings are also sitting. So in other words, they who long for success in this world here sacrifice to devatas. Different manifested powers. And then their willpower is also becoming stronger and stronger. They are also not rest content till they achieve it. You may wonder how they are getting their strength. They are stretching their, getting their strength from the devatas. They are operating to the devatas, and the devatas are giving them strength.
So you mean the devata, any positive being, it can be anything which gives one, so which is a source of strength for the person.
Yes, which adds up the strength.
So that
whether it is negative or positive. You understand? See, ordinarily you may not have a strength to commit a murder. But in a fit of anger, you committed murder. A lot of people say, this fellow committed murder. This fellow. Now you wonder, how is it that I committed murder? You also wonder. Because you had a negative in you, all these unseen negative forces got attached to you and you got it. Thing in the spur of the moment, you did it.
So, and for the answer is this, Devata and Ishwar could mean, say, for a negative case, it could be a terrorist. For a positive thing, it could be some of the gods and goddesses that we worship. Ganesh, Lakshmi, whatever. And it could also be someone like Mother Teresa. Right? So, any, is that what the word Devata here in this verse means? Any positive thing from where you get your energy? Or any negative thing from where you get your negative energy?
That's what I said. Unseen, positively charged beings at different dimension, at a higher dimension, is called devatas.
Unseen.
It is not seen. You do not know. You can't give proof for devata here. You understand?
Just because,
please remember this. Just because you don't see doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Some people argue, I can't see God, therefore God cannot exist. You can't see Obama now. Does it mean that President Obama doesn't exist? You understand? Just merely because you can't see. In our scriptures, devatas are mentioned. What they are meaning is, all these subtle beings who are vibrating at different dimensions, who are positively charged. Punyatmas. So the moment you attach yourself to a higher cause and function, you are not alone. This is why a person who understands this, for him attaining success is no big deal. Because I am not really alone. See, the gist of this verse is this only. You are not really alone. Try to get the gist here. Whether you are vibrating positively or you are vibrating negatively, you are not really alone.
So you are always connected to the
yes.
energy.
You can see now, when you are working for a cause, you think I am doing it. Foolishly. Egoistically. But if you really understand, I am not doing the moment I surrender for a cause, from where the help is coming, how the whole thing is happening. Really, you are not alone. So, in this verse, they who long for success, they also sacrifice. Nothing is possible to be attained without sacrifice. Remember that. Nothing is possible to be attained without sacrifice. Nothing can come without effort. But when you put in effort, the devatas are there supporting like tail wind. The effort becomes effortless when you really understand this. So without really surrendering, if you put in effort, you don't get it. Effort and effortlessness, much effort, all this you need to understand correctly. You cannot get anything without effort. You cannot get anything with less effort. You cannot get anything with much effort. And when you get anything, you get it effortlessly. What I mean by that is, Archimedes' principle. He was struggling to get the solution. Right? Struggling. Effort was going on. Then he was in the bathtub, surrendered, absolutely relaxed. He got the solution. If he had no effort, he couldn't have got it. Only with effort, much effort also he didn't get it. But having put in the effort and when he surrendered, he got it. So in other words, those who surrender to devatas, means this is the meaning. Those who put in their effort, but they also have the attitude of surrender, then their effort is effortless. And they get it. When you get attached to effort, then also you don't get it. No effort, obviously you don't get it. You get attached to effort and don't let go, you don't get it. You put in effort and let go. Understand that I am really not alone. There are so many people who support. Every time I see this happening. Every time. Every year we conduct Gita lectures in Delhi. Earlier before coming here, I was in some other place. There also we were conducting Gita lectures by my Guru Swamiji. I announced that the lecture is going to come up. This is a yajna. To conduct this yajna, we require physical help, monetary help, all sorts of help is required. Right? Announce. And sometimes you wonder from where the help is going to come. And you invariably find somewhere the help is coming and the yajna is being conducted. Are you with me? Supposing you think, I have to do it. Then Krishna says, okay, leave it to that fellow, he wants to do it. Yes, remember, you are not alone. So for those who sacrifice to devatas, doesn't mean, oh, devatas, you please come and do it for me. That is not the meaning here. For those who long for success here, they put in the effort with the understanding that they are not alone. By this attitude, their effort is underlined by the surrender. For them, success is quickly born in this world. You are not at all in tension. A big event is coming up. So much fund is required. You see, I don't know where it is going to come from. Constantly in tension. Are you with me? On the contrary, you continue putting in your effort. Writing letters, meeting people, whatever it is. But understand, the totality has its own way of bringing the help needed. You are not alone. This is what Krishna told Arjuna in the 11th chapter. Later on, he is going to say, you are saying, I will not kill. Are you just be an instrument in the hands of totality and do what you have to do? If the totality has decided, it will give it through somebody else, it will do the thing through somebody else. If Arjuna says, I will not do, okay, don't do. As if totality has no other instruments to do it through. Many times you can experiment it in your own life. I'm not talking about myself, but there are some times when I have experimented it as really good. And really not wanting to experiment also. Just happened. Something we had to do. You know, we had called for students from the academy. And there was a requirement, especially this I'm talking about when I was abroad. Calling students with Swamiji abroad means there is so much fun required. And the time we had was only about 1.5 months. A lot of people were wondering how it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. If it happens, it happens. How it is going to happen is not in our hands. It is in the totality sense. Let us put in our efforts. And believe me, easily we did it. Because the moment you think you are doing it, then there is much effort. Nothing happens. You think he is doing it and you sit down doing nothing, then it is less effort, nothing happens. When you do, understanding that you are not alone doing, there are so many factors which are doing, then it is effortless. Always remember, success is effortless. It's a beautiful verse, all these verses. So they who long for success here in this world sacrifice to devatas, for quickly indeed success is born of action in the human world. But the problem is, not knowing this, we are struggling. Like how a child functions. Child is hungry. It just goes to the mother and says, I am hungry. You understand? Exactly like that. Person who understands the law, he functions. If really this has to be done, it is no big deal. Just one small thought can create. No big deal. But those who do not know this secret, for them it's a very big thing. So remember this always. They say, as per the scriptures, that when any person dies, if it's an ordinary soul that dies, whether that soul is positively charged or negatively charged, for it to find another body is very fast. But some extraordinary soul, positively charged or negatively charged, for it to find the womb again is not immediate. So it will continue as devatas or aturas, asuras for a while. But all along, they are wanting to function through somebody who has a body. Therefore they say, if you are all the time positively charged, you will be attracting devatas to you. If you are all the time negatively charged, you will be attracting all the negative elements to you. But either way, you are not alone. That is why in our prayers also, we always pray, may I have positive thoughts. Let me think positive. Let me speak positive. Let me write things positive. Let me hear positive. Let me see positive. So many prayers are there. May there be good things spoken. Why do they say that? The moment you think, but by just saying what could happen, by saying, you are saying, you are willing to host the host of devils. Are you with me? That is why they say the prayers at home, the thoughts also have vibration, the words have vibration. Everything has its vibration. So therefore, what kind of words you use, what kind of thoughts you encourage, everything let it be positive. Because the moment you say something negative, that means you have sent an invitation to the negative forces. Now slowly, slowly few negative forces you invited and they are all sitting behind, and suddenly the gusa comes one day and you kill somebody. You wonder, how did I do this? That is why you need to look back. If you create certain negative habits, slowly, slowly they develop strength and they take you to the negative destiny. So this verse 11 and 12, it's talking about the power of your thoughts, the power of your attitude, the power of your belief system, the power of your value system. So remember, you are never alone. You are always supported by some negative force or by some positive force. That is why they say the moment you feel sad, quickly go into the prayer room and go and sit, listen to something positive. Especially when you have fever and all that. Instead of sitting and crying about it, do something positive. You take one step towards positive, many more positive things will automatically come. You find this, na? So many people going on, the more and more they start creeping about it, the more go into more into depression. Some negative has happened in the body. Don't allow it to further multiply. Quickly get into positivity. So as you think, so you become. So really speaking, to attain success in this world, you really need to continue doing what you have to do with a clear understanding that you are not really alone. When your subconscious is filled with the idea, how will be worked out by the totality? We are more worried about how it is going to happen. Leave the how to the totality. You just be filled with it. And understand that this is what is to be done. This is what we want. This is what we have to do. And we clearly know that nothing happens due to an individual like me. Things happen through me. With this understanding, when you function, how the whole thing will come and be done through you, that is the moderation of the totality. It is not your domain. This is how deep these verses are. This is quickly Kshipram Himamshe Loke Siddhira Vati Karmaja. The problem is Why there is a delay? There is a delay because you are holding on to it. Jitna hold karta hai, utna delay. If you really understand this, you will stop holding. Then everything quickly you will get. So you wonder, how is this fellow is able to attain things quickly? Because he never holds on anything. That's why people who understand this secret, for them, okay, this is to be achieved, fine. Fill yourself with this thought, go about doing, quickly they attain. But others, no, no, how to do it is very difficult, you know, the people are very difficult, I don't know how it's going to be possible. They're holding on. The more they hold on, more the delay. So you think the delay is from that side. Actually, the delay is from your side. If you stop holding on, no delay. If you continue holding on, there will be all the delay, all the time. It's a beautiful bhajan, you know. Achyutam Keshavam Krishna Dhamodaram Ramanarayanam Vasudevam Bhaje. Log kehte hai Bhagwan dete nahi, मैं तो कहता हूँ तुम मांगता ही नहीं means what? If you are really wanting it, the proof of wanting is what? Acting. Remember that. If I really want it, will I be sitting in my house? If I really want it, I will be out on the street searching for it. And when I search for it, how quickly I get it depends on what my attitude is. If my attitude is, I have to do it myself, you understand? Then I'm holding on. The more I'm holding on, more the delay. If my attitude is, things get done through me, then your effort for the outsiders, oh my God, he's really working hard. You say, I am not doing anything, Baba. Where am I working on? Because it is effortless to you. What makes an effort effortless is your surrender. This is what I say. Quickly indeed, success is born of action here in this world, in the human world. लोग कहते हैं भगवान देते नहीं दीज डिले इज नॉट गिविंग ही इज सेइंग यू आर नॉट आस्किंग नो यू आर सेइंग नो आई एम आस्किंग बट इफ यू आर रियली आस्किंग यू विल बी डूइंग दिस इज द प्रॉब्लम लाइज. And the Lord was praying to God, I must win the lottery, I must win the lottery, I must win. He never won any lottery. So he continued praying, God, please, this time I should win this. God got fed up one day, you know. He appeared in front of him. He said, are you idiot? I really want to make you win the lottery, but first tell us, buy the lottery, you will win. Even you don't buy the lottery, how can I make you win the lottery? You understand? So in other words, don't misunderstand these two verses. Krishna is not saying you will get things without your effort. You will not get things without your effort. You will not get things only with your effort. Less effort will not get it, much effort will not get it. Effortless will get it. And in fact, all the things that get done, gets done through you. But out of our ego. So basically what really stands in between me and the totality is my ego. That's what he's saying here. If I really understand this, I surrender my ego, then I keep on receiving. Receiving becomes simple for me. This is why sages are not worried. We are very worried. Future ko save karo. not only your future, your great grandson's 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 future, of course you could. You know, in other words, Putra, I guess you don't know. But a sage has nothing. You think, oh, sage has this knowledge of verse number 11 and 12 of Bhagavad Gita. So he doesn't have to save for his future. Believe me. You do not have this knowledge. Therefore you, out of ego, try to hold and hold.
Purnamada, Purnamudachyate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnameva Vashishyate, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.